You're listening to the TV Obsessive Channel, presented by TVObsessive.com.
Okay, welcome back to the TV Obsessive Podcast. We're for episode 46 today. As always, I'm Cameron Crane, executive editor for TVObsessive.com, joined by Ryan Kirksey, writer and contributor for the site. How are you doing today, Ryan?
I'm doing very well. Seems like we're moving quickly from spring to summer. I might say the winds of change are among us, and we're heading good places. We might touch on that.
Yeah, I don't know how I feel about 76 degrees in April, personally. But
how do you feel about 90 degrees in April? You want to come down to where I am?
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. I have, you know, without going on a tangent about, you know, like global warming and such. I'm always annoyed that like my favorite kind of weather is jacket weather. Where did it go? Yeah, it's like on both sides, it just kind of goes summer, winter, summer. Yeah. Anyway.
Yeah. Well, if you love 11 months of summer and 1 month of cool weather, you're welcome in Texas anytime.
Yeah, I don't. That seems like a bit much for me. Anyhow, we are going to continue today talking about Sugar with episode 4, called Starry Eye. We'll hit on that in the latter half of the pod, sort of dig in. So there will be spoilers, but, you know, later. And we have a warning before we get into that specifically. First, as per usual, we'll talk about what we've noticed in the news a bit this week, that sort of thing. So it's April 19th. What do we got, Ryan?
Well, we talked a lot about what's happening in May and June this year. We haven't talked too much about the second half of 2024. We got some news, particularly from Netflix this week. They've kind of laid out the slate, not necessarily on dates, but for what's coming.
Yeah, Netflix always annoys me on this front, where they don't put out dates, or they do so randomly, or they'll like announce that something's going to come out in 2 weeks, or they'll surprise drop something. Anyhow. Maybe not a huge surprise. The biggest thing that stood out to me, they are saying, you know, second half of 2024 for season 2 of Squid Game. Did you watch Squid Game?
I'm the one person who's never seen Squid Game.
Yeah, apparently. I mean, I ended up watching it. This is kind of a funny story. Someone messaged the site saying Cameron Crane needs to write about Squid Game.
Okay. It's right up your alley, huh?
It's like, apparently I take requests, because I was like, that's kind of, you know, it's kind of a compliment, right? They wanted to know what I had to say on the show, and I had watched it, and it was buzzing around and all of that. And I did quite enjoy it. You know, it took me a little while to get through the season. I finally wrote something on it, and by that point, people weren't talking about it anymore. But, I mean, some people read it. I don't know if I think there should be a season 2.
Yeah, I do know I should watch it. I mean, it's one of these just, I think, cultural touchstones that everyone was a part of when it did come out. And, you know, I guess I'll withhold my opinion clearly until I've seen the first season, but
it's good.
I mean, you're not going to have what they, I guess in this article, they call it Netflix's biggest series ever. They're not going to not do a second season.
Yeah. And I do hope that the creator, whose name eludes me, I'd have to double check his name, but I know he didn't get a whole lot of money for season 1, so hopefully he gets to cash in on season 2. Yeah. Like, actually, I think that's the biggest reason I would want them to do season 2, is to pay the creator of Squid Game. Narratively, I don't know. I don't know where it'll go exactly. You know, you haven't seen it. We don't want to get into spoilers, no. But I do recommend it. Just make sure you watch it with the subtitles. Don't watch it dubbed.
No, that's a pet peeve of mine. Never do that.
All right, so no, with Netflix, I don't know, but I know sometimes they'll like default things to dubbed, and you have to be paying attention and switch it. So, yeah, no.
Yeah, what was the show on Netflix that they did that infuriated me? I think it was Money Heist. Remember this show, Money Heist?
Uh huh.
The European show, I think, maybe from Spain. Yeah, and the default was all of these horribly dubbed words over top, and it just looked awful. So I was like, oh god, switch that as quickly as I can.
Yeah, I mean, some things, if you really want to watch them dubbed, I get it. Maybe anime, I don't know, but yeah. the biggest one for me is I just simply can't imagine anyone who watched Dark dubbed.
Oh
Did
yeah.
you watch
Oh,
Dark?
I did. I've seen, yes, what I've seen 2 seasons of Dark. Didn't even try it dubbed. I wanted to make sure
Absolutely.
I was hitting exactly what needed to be said there.
It's a great show, and it's incredibly German. Like the German language, I think, really feeds into the vibe, like of the whole kind of show there. Anyway, yeah, beyond that, Netflix also said, okay, later this year you're going to get season two of Night Agent, which I know is quite popular. The next season of Cobra Kai, which might be the last season of Cobra Kai.
It is confirmed last season, yes.
Confirmed last season of Cobra Kai. So we don't have dates on any of those things, but wait.
Yeah. Well, wake me up when Stranger Things and Black Mirror comes back, basically.
Black Mirror, I saw, I think, 2025.
Yep.
Right. And I haven't seen the date on Stranger Things.
They're aiming for 2025 for that as well.
Anyway, everything's going to be in 2025. I
Yeah.
mean, except for all the stuff that's going to be in 2024, which is quite a lot. Let me spin from Squid Game to another Korean series, apparently in the works or on the horizon. Park Chan-wook, whose HBO adaptation of The Sympathizer premiered on Sunday. We have an article on
Yeah.
the site on that from Amy Bauer, if you want to check that out. Is apparently going to proceed to do more TV and adapt
Yeah.
his seminal film, Old Boy. You ever seen Old Boy?
Yeah, so this is a movie from 10 or 12 years ago, right? Josh Brolin, I believe I saw this, but it's been a decade.
Boy, did you see that there was like an English language adaptation that I think Spike Lee made. Is that what you
No,
said?
I've not seen that one.
Oh, okay. But yeah, the original, I haven't seen the adaptation. I somehow it also just fell into a memory hole for me that Spike Lee adapted this film. I must have noticed at the time, and then I totally forgot that. I mean, I never saw that one, but I did see the original. It is a bit heavy stuff, you know. It's violent and all of that kind of thing. So yeah, after The Sympathizer, apparently it's going to move on to adapt Old Boy, and that's interesting. Old Boy as a TV series.
Yeah, I think that from what I have read and not really seeing anything beyond just vague memories of the 2013 movie, but what I haven't read is it's quite an interesting and adaptable story, and that there's some, I say, quite interesting narratively, but also a big twist to this. So I think that there's really going to this you said this is going to be an HBO thing, right? Did I hear that correctly?
Yeah, I believe so. You know, because one
Okay,
of these
so
things
they should
that,
be able to
yeah.
put the production value behind it, I think, to make it pretty compelling.
Yeah, I'm definitely intrigued by that. Definitely intrigued. Also on the horizon, For All Mankind renewed for season five, and they're going to do a spinoff. We were talking just before we got on about how neither of us watched For All Mankind, or maybe you just started watching it. Is that what you're saying?
I have after seeing this news, think, oh my gosh, 5 seasons, a spinoff. The spinoff, interestingly, entitled Star City, ties back a little bit to a show we just finished covering, Constellation, which
Yeah,
we had
because
a
I think it's a real
discussion.
place.
Yeah. So
Anyway.
I have been hooked enough on what I've been reading to start it. So that's on my list this week to start trying to make my way through 4 seasons of For All Mankind.
Yeah, I've been thinking about doing similarly. Like, I should finally catch up. Seen many, many people talk about how good it is. I know it has quite a fan base, critically acclaimed. Also feels like the one Apple TV sci-fi show I have not seen.
Yeah,
So what am
really.
I doing? Why have I still not watched For All Mankind? And I think the most honest answer I can give is I missed it when it started, and then I've just always been behind, and I've never
Yeah.
made the time to catch up on it. But yeah, season five and a spin-off critically acclaimed show. All right, it might be about time to check this one out.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. That's exactly my thought process. I'll be starting it this week, I believe. But and that wasn't the only sci-fi series to get a renewal this week. Fallout got a very quick second season
Indeed.
after its binge drop a couple of weeks ago. I did decide to do this week to week. We talked about this, so I'm in
Okay.
the middle of episode two. I know you finished the whole thing,
Yeah,
but
I just binged
so
it.
far, so far, enjoying it.
You're enjoying it so far? I remember
Yes.
this is part of why I binged it. Yeah, I put on the first episode. I was like, okay. I was watching the second episode. And, I don't know. I don't know if I'm gonna finish watching the show. I was actually watching the second episode going like, what are the stakes? What do I care about? I didn't know if I cared about enough or cared about the characters enough or felt invested. And it got me just enough by the end of episode two that I pressed play on episode three, and then I was in.
Oh, okay. Okay, good. So I'm about to be there. I've had to pause in the middle of episode two, so I'm gonna give it a little bit longer, make sure I get the hook.
Cool. Yeah. I mean, maybe not everyone feels that way, particularly fans of the game might have from the beginning, like kind of been like, oh, this is really cool. They're doing a really good job. Look at all these Easter eggs or whatever. But I felt like it took a little while for the overarching kind of plot to develop. And I was struggling a little bit at the beginning to, I don't ever want to say I have to like the characters. But I have to care about what happens to them, and I was struggling with that a little bit at the beginning, particularly the knight squire guy.
It was interesting to me, having not ever played the game, knowing nothing going in, the first long episode especially, there's sort of this bifurcation between these two stories, and you're kind of like, what is happening here? How does exactly these things tie together? And then you sort of wraps up with this story again of Walton Goggins' character at the end. So yeah, so sort of a I have to work through how these things connect.
Yeah.
We're
And
getting there.
I think that's maybe the big thing. As you move forward, things start coming together a bit more and become clearer. And you'll get there, and no spoilers. But yes, Fallout renewed for season two. Not a surprise at all. I think I said last week I thought it was already renewed for season two when we were talking about it. They hadn't officially announced it yet, but it was already like in the air. This is gonna happen, and of course it is, the show's doing well. They've got the existing IP and fan base. They already put a lot of money into season one, and that's great. I mean, I didn't see it coming entirely that Walton Goggins' character is, I wouldn't say he's the main character because Ella Purnell's character is the main character, but he's like 1B. He really his character the way his character really kind of ties things together is I love Walton Goggins so.
It, and I'm a sucker for that. This is so dumb, but I'm a sucker for these when they release these videos of, the fast forward of them in the makeup chair, like, when they're 4 hours of putting the prosthetics on, and they release one of those of Walton Goggins this week. I find that stuff fascinating.
Yeah, it is interesting, right? Because in order to you can't you're not actually like taking his nose off, right? So you gotta makeup. What else we got? Maybe switching gears a little bit, going a little bit closer to reality.
There was another season to renew. This one took about 9 years, but a show that sort of, I think, captivated a lot of people back in 2015, The Jinx. Remember The Jinx?
Yeah.
It's got a season two coming, which I take it. Are we allowed to give spoilers for this show after 9 years? I'm not sure.
Yeah, let's go with yes, because it's also like a documentary series, right? I mean, it's like withhold. Well, I'm not going to tell you what happened in reality, so it doesn't spoil the show. It can't make that move.
So at the end of G The Jinx, which is a six episode documentary about Robert Durst and a murder, a confession essentially.
Yeah.
There was this massive revelation at the beginning or at the end of the six episodes, and it just sort of was this shocking thing that happened back then. And so now, I guess, following on what happened after that, they've created a second season of sort of, I guess, his legal proceedings that HBO is going to release. How this can be as compelling as the first six, I have no idea, but I guess enough people were interested in that story and have still it's still talked about this many years later that they decided to go in on it again.
Yeah, we'll see. My initial reaction is this necessary? Is this warranted? It kind of feels like the Jinx season two will have to do some work to justify its existence. But maybe they've got enough to work with, I don't know if it'll become as much of a cultural phenomenon as season one,
Exactly.
but.
Exactly. I have this theory. Okay, I'm gonna share this with you. See, sort of bounces off of you and see what you think. So this show came out about 4 or 5 months after the first season of the Serial podcast. Do you remember the Serial
Indeed.
podcast, right? Adnan Syed, that murder case, sort of following the what happened there. That was kind of the first of its kind that really hit in the culture. Jinx did as well. These shows and these podcasts, like there's a fourth season of Serial going on right now, which is why I bring this up, right? And nothing has been as compelling as that first season.
And I mean, it's also, it kind of feels to me like there's so much of this stuff anymore. There was a moment where, you had Serial, you had the Jinx, you had, what was the Netflix one, Making of a Murderer?
Making a murderer, right?
And where it felt like everyone was watching and invested in this one thing. And I wonder if this is part of it, that true crime kind of sector of entertainment expanded so much. There's so much stuff. You don't have the same kind of widespread investment in one particular thing. I don't know how that hangs together
It
really,
certainly has
but.
proliferated to the point where there's just way too much of it. But my theory is that with Serial season one and with Jinx season one was this drug hit of this thing we had never had before, seen before, heard before. And we've constantly been trying to get to that, and we haven't been able to. It's hard to recreate that with how much there is, with how much interest is spread across so many different things. We'll never get back to what we felt when we felt Serial season one and Jinx season one again.
That's probably true. What about like Tiger King? Is
Oh
that?
yeah, that's totally different
But it's kind of similar. It's kind of
though.
similar because there was that level to
That's a different drug. I mean, that's like LSD or something
Yeah,
different.
that was wild. And I think Tiger King, the popularity of Tiger King was probably really enabled by the fact that it was like we're all in lockdown. So it's like we're all in lockdown watching Tiger King in 2020. That was the
No show in the history
experience.
of television had a luckier drop of date than Tiger King, which came out like mid-March of 2020.
I was like, what am I gonna well, watch Tiger King? That was
Right.
perfect. Perfect quarantine viewing.
Yeah.
Did you see released this week, dug up by Pablo Torre, the video that the New York Knickerbockers made for LeBron James in 2010? Did you
So
check this out?
I actually did. You are usually my Pablo Torre messenger and lets me know what's going on over there. But I saw this going around and just had to watch it. I mean, I'm gonna let you tell the story, but this was just absolutely fascinating to me.
Did you watch? I watched the Pablo Torre episode. Is that what you watched, or is this the
Yes,
video
I
out there?
did.
Okay, because I don't know. The video might be out there on its own. I'm not positive about that, but he didn't quite say where he got it. Anyway, Pablo Torre,
My investigators uncovered it.
this mythical video, right? So the context for this, to refresh people's memories, in 2010, LeBron James was becoming a free agent. There was a lot of stuff in the air. There were questions about, well, where's he going to go? Is he maybe going to stay in Cleveland? Is he going to go to the New York Knicks? A lot of people thought he was going to go to the New York Knicks. Other teams were also involved. Miami Heat, obviously, where he ended up, and some others, right? And to where he ultimately had that TV special he called The Decision, which was, from my point of view as a Cavs fan, his heel turn.
That's right. I forgot you're a Cavs fan.
But anyhow, there was a lot of speculation, a lot of people thinking that he was going to go to the Knicks. And it's been out there that they've made this video to try to recruit him. And Pablo Torre lays out the story of how this occurred. LeBron was having meetings with various teams in Cleveland. Apparently they'd originally had a plan of bringing him to New York and having like a bunch of celebrities around him or whatever. But no, so they made this video. Oh my God. The most relevant thing to television is that it opens with a scene of James Gandolfini and Edie Falco as Tony and Carmela Soprano an apartment in New York City, talking about how they're going to how to find an apartment for their friend LeBron James.
They're in protective services, right?
Right, which I know, Ryan, you still haven't watched The Sopranos, as I recall, right?
That's
So,
right. That's right. But I mean, I know how it ends, obviously.
okay, right. So, this is supposed to be set like after the ending of The Sopranos, Which, if you took this as canon, it would just be awful. It's just like absolutely awful. Like, to, because if Tony and Carmela had witnessed protection, the implication is that Tony is a rat. But James Gandolfini apparently really wanted to do this himself. They apparently were doing it in his apartment. And he's just sitting with a newspaper in front of this like window air conditioner. So there's
Then
that, and then I don't know. I mean, I'm so tempted
you
to just like go through the whole video, but then other people show up
yes
in the video to try to recruit LeBron James. But the style of it,
yeah
what it really reminded me of was if anyone's ever had jury duty in New York City, you'll like go and on the TV there'll be like actors from Law and Order talking about how important jury duty is. The
yeah
style felt like that to me.
I was gonna say so the We should say there are a lot of teams that do these types of things all the time for players that they're trying to recruit. Normally, it's someone currently or formerly affiliated with the team, and they go through the history, how much they've won, what they can do with them, what great culture and history this team has, how we can build upon it with you here. It's not usually the Sopranos, Donald Trump, all these sort of superficial New York Knicks fans talking about why you should go to New York.
Particularly in retrospect. The fact
Yes.
that this video includes Donald Trump,
Oh,
Harvey Weinstein,
God, yeah.
then Alec Baldwin is maybe not quite as bad, but it's still after the Rust shooting and all of that. Like, oh man. It takes way too long for Spike Lee to show up. What's up with that? Like, Spike
Yeah.
Lee's got to be the most famous
He
Knicks
should be the
fan.
narrator of the whole thing.
Yeah, it should just be Spike Lee. Be
Yeah.
like, oh, bro, come on, let's hang out. Chris Rock's in there. He's fine.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's that part's fine. It's just a really weird video. It's like cheesy and boring. I can't, after watching this, I thought, well, like, no wonder he didn't go to the Knicks.
Yeah. They just, whoever had the idea for this, just, I mean, totally missed. Totally missed. Although I may not have ever laughed harder than when the Pablo Torre crew that's on there is making fun of the air conditioning unit and the apartment of James Gandolfini where they live.
Yeah. Well, then it's even worse that apparently they made other versions of the same video for Dwayne Wade and Chris Bosh.
Yeah.
It's like almost exactly the same. So it's like ADR, like Chris Bosh. Anyway, it was. I really do recommend the Pablo Torre finds out episode on this. A way to watch it again. I hope
Yeah,
the video's out there.
it was the best thing I watched this week. I mean, without any competition.
Really entertaining. And then the apocryphal story, which they lump in, right, is that this is what the Knicks do. What does Pat Riley do for the Heat? He comes in with a bag of championship rings and goes,
Yeah,
sets it, just like sets it on the table. How
right.
about that,
That's right.
LeBron? So.
Oh my gosh! No, that was absolutely incredible. Well, I don't know if you saw this, another incredible thing this week. Did you catch any or all of the, I think it was quickly becoming an iconic Saturday Night Live episode from this past weekend?
So, you put it in the notes, so I watched it last night.
Okay.
I don't watch SNL regularly anymore. Do you?
I would say I am a semi-regular watcher. It is on the DVR. I'll put it that way. It is on
Okay.
the DVR. I have Peacock, so I can go back and watch it. But Peacock often cuts out the music or some of the other things that they just want to shorten it into under an hour. But yeah, this Ryan Gosling episode of SNL, it revisited Alien Encounters with Kate McKinnon. It did a sequel to his famous papyrus sketch from several years ago. We had, I mean, just what has gone viral, this Beavis and Butthead
Yeah.
sketch with Kenan Thompson and Heidi Gardner, and just not being able to, she had to go out and explain like why she couldn't keep it together during the sketch because it was just so over the top. I mean, this is, I certainly can't say that Saturday Night Live is a part of the culture like it used to be, but every once in a while they're able to do something to jump back in. I mean, they had Caitlin Clark go in and debate Michael Che about how great the WNBA was after
That
all the
was
years
pretty
that
funny.
he confronted. Yeah,
That was
yeah.
pretty funny.
So it
Calling
was
him
just a
out for
great
the various
episode.
jokes he's made about women's sports and then making
Yeah.
him read. these other jokes at his own expense. That was pretty funny.
Exactly.
And the Beavis
Exactly.
and Butthead thing, I did enjoy, you
Yeah.
know.
I
So it
just
was.
they're just if you know, start with the Beavis and Butthead one if you haven't seen it. I'm sure everyone has it at this point, but Heidi Gardner, who is well known for keeping it together, just cannot make it through this sketch and has since done several interviews of why it was so hard for her to do so. They didn't, you know, do the whole full prosthetics and the rehearsal. They didn't, she wasn't prepared for it.
It was particularly the Butthead. Who's that? What's his name? Mikey Day? Is that his
Mikey
name?
Day, yeah, who I actually think is really funny. Mikey
Oh
Day
my
was
God.
so
Like, I think that was the moment. Like, she saw him with the full Butthead going on and just it just couldn't keep it together.
Yeah. Oh no, just good to see them. Let me resurface every once in a while. Next year is the 50th season of Saturday Night Live.
Pretty crazy.
Yeah, they'll do something big. They did a big thing for 40, so I'm sure they'll do something big next year whenever that comes up.
Yeah. And you know, I mean, a lot of this probably is Ryan Gosling is actually a really good comedic actor.
He really
He
is.
really
Yeah.
is. I don't know why
And I
that still
didn't.
feels surprising for me because he's done so much at this point.
Yeah, and I didn't even mention that the cold open, not the cold open, but the monologue is Emily Blunt joining him. Obviously, they're in The Fall Guy together, coming out next month, where they're learning how to say goodbye to their respective characters from Oppenheimer and from Barbie, right? Let's leave those behind because we got a new thing coming up, right? So that's just another great thing. Just the whole thing start to finish was great.
Yeah, definitely one of the better ones they've done lately. You know, as I said, I don't watch it regularly anymore. There was a time when I did, and then
Yeah.
so often it just started feeling like, well, this isn't really worth my time. So I don't know. Anything else you want to mention before we get to
We've
Sugar?
done a lot. We can move on to sugar if you want to.
Oh, you were going to mention the that Apple TV is going to adapt another McCarran book, right? Down Cemetery Road.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah, we've done a lot of, and obviously sugar is on Apple TV right now, but there was so much, I think, positive, not only review, but a sort of commentary that's come out of their adaptation of the McCarran Slow Horses series of books, that they are now going to pick up another one of his books called Down Cemetery Road. This is going to star Emma Thompson as a private investigator. I don't know anything more except that I'm all in.
Yeah.
After getting through the second season of Slow Horses, I'm ready to go.
Cool. So we got that to look forward to. We don't have a date or anything on that,
Yeah.
but yeah, worth mentioning briefly. All right. So let's get to Sugar.
Yes,
We're up
sir.
to episode four this week, Starry-Eyed. So spoilers are going to be on the table for everything in Sugar through episode four on the other side of this brief musical interlude. And we'll see you in about 10 seconds.
Okay, we're here to discuss Sugar Episode 4, Starry Eyed, written by Donald Joe, directed by Adam Arkin. This episode sees Sugar, from Ruby's suggestion, finally go visit Dr. Vickers. And after they discuss the movie The Thing for a bit, Dr. Vickers tells him he's concerned because Sugar is fine physically, but certainly not mentally. A lot of this episode centers on Davey and Kenny. They first go to find Sugar's mother out in Arizona and think they have some dirt on him, but it was a staged all along, and she just gave him the information that Sugar wanted her to. Meanwhile, Sugar is still looking for Olivia, and he is searching for ways to try to find her, whether with a family, with people connected to her. One of the ways that he does is to get back with Melanie, who helps track down someone she had a memory about, something that she had seen with Olivia. They were having a contentious conversation together. They tracked down this friend of Olivia's whose name is Taylor, an aspiring actress, and learned that Taylor was someone who Davey was trying to sexually blackmail. The Siegel family tried to cover it up. They tried to pay her off. She refused. Taylor contacted Olivia, told Olivia about it. And then Olivia confirmed to her that she knows Davey had a history of this type of behavior, has done it many, many times before. Sugar continues to look for information on Stallings. We know from the last episode, Ruby was deleting information about him, so she is not much help. Clearly, she is hiding something. But after learning what he does about Davey, Sugar wants to talk to Jonathan Siegel. Siegel invites him to a screening of his old movie, The Winds of Change, starring his former wife, Lorraine Everly. While there, Sugar admits to Bernie that he knows Davey's secrets. Sugar sees Bernie and Melanie arguing. And at the end of the screening, after news breaks of Davey's misconduct and his sexual deviancy, Jonathan has a heart attack. We learn that he will be okay, but the episode ends back in Stallings' apartment after he called Davey and threatened him. We see Stallings gathering up his men to go do something and notice that he has Olivia's jewelry from all of her Instagram posts in a locked closet, setting up them as suspects. Perhaps we'll see where we go with that. Another thing that we know, but Sugar does not. So we're seemingly getting a lot more clues than Sugar does at some point. So how do we sort of break all this down? A lot of exposition here, propelled some of the story forward, certainly more than the last episode did.
I think I enjoyed this episode more than episode three, so that's good. We'll see where it goes the back half of the season. And I'm left with this feeling, as you're pointing out, basically, the idea that Stallings maybe kidnapped Olivia, maybe or something is really kind of presented there. And I don't know really on what basis I find myself thinking, nah, that's not what happened.
I mean, it again, we are now halfway through exactly this season. You're presented with a pretty damning piece of evidence of we see Olivia throughout these interspersed Instagram posts through the episode, and then see Stallings at the end with the jewelry she is wearing during those posts. We see the connection between Davey and Stallings. So there's this sort of implication that Davey and Stallings are up to something, and that has led to Olivia's disappearance because he has her jewelry. I just don't know if it's going to be that easy.
I mean, it's almost maybe I'm too cynical of a television viewer or something. So, well, this
We
must
have
be
too
a
much time left.
red herring. If it's not, I mean, I do have some things to ground that on a little bit. I think it would be a little bit odd if Stallings had Olivia, behind that padlock door, yet hasn't been able to coerce out of her what happened to Clifford, whom she killed. I believe we know that, right? Clifford's body was in the trunk of her car. It's no longer in the trunk of her car. We don't know who took that body still. The
Still don't know
show
that.
hasn't followed up on that really at all. And if you recall, Sugar also found a strand of hair in there. So I don't know. Seems like we should follow up on that at some point. But regardless, the fact that Stallings still doesn't know what happened to his man Clifford, and he still wants to know.
Do we actually even know what is the primary connection between Davey and Stallings? Do we
No, I don't
know
think we
how
do.
they are connected? We know background of Davey. We know what Stallings has been trying to accomplish. We still don't know, I think, the connection between the two.
We don't. And further, we don't know what Stallings does. Does that make sense to put it that way? Like we know he's a bad guy, he's a criminal. In what way, right? Is he a drug dealer? Maybe. We don't know. You know what I mean? Like, we don't really know what his deal is, as it were, other than he seems to really be a organized criminal, and he's got gang of thugs, and he seems motivated to go do something, as you say, which does not seem to directly relate to the main case, or maybe it does, but
I mean, my best guess was, all right, we got to go sort of shut Davey up now. The law is coming for him. We got to go take care of this guy. He's a loose end or something. I mean, it's like, what do you gather your guys up to go do at this point?
I guess he says it's going to go south or something. I don't know, does that mean Mexico or where are they? We don't know where they are,
We don't, I mean, we presume they're in Los Angeles. They were in the Los Angeles apartment with Teresa a couple episodes ago.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, but it's like, okay, maybe they're in Oakland. And maybe going south means they're going to LA, but we haven't been told anything like that, you know.
That's
So
true.
again, going south makes me think of Mexico. I don't know why he'd be going to Mexico. But he kind of tasks other guys with continuing to try to find out what happened to Clifford because he's going to do something else. Is he going after Davy? He makes the intimidating phone call. Davy certainly seems to be intimidated. Is more necessary? I don't know that I would think it is.
Yeah, I mean that's the great question. And what would they do that say, well, I guess a better way of asking it would be, is there a Stallings connection to Bernie or to Margit or others where they're sort of using these folks as a way to keep Davy in check? Because with Taylor, the NDA didn't work, the hush money didn't work. We got to find some way to keep a handle on this guy, and these are our enforcers to do that.
Yeah, I mean, this is an interesting possibility. Maybe this is right. Maybe the Siegel family has employed Stallings to intimidate women who Davy has harassed, blackmailed. What's the, I don't know what the best term is. They've done very bad things. We discover the details of from Taylor in this episode. So maybe they have employed Stallings to pay a visit to these women when it felt called for to threaten them, you know, to keep their mouth shut.
So let me ask you, okay, we know Jonathan Siegel, the grandfather, Bernie Siegel, the son, Margit, the current, I guess, mistress. There's another wife right now.
No, Margie is his ex-wife.
One ex-wife. Melanie's another ex-wife.
Melanie's the other ex-wife. Yeah.
Two ex-wives, a current wife, Bernie and Jonathan. How many of those five know about Davy's activities, in your opinion?
Oh, I mean, I kind of thought all of them did.
That's my
Well,
impression too.
I mean, I did get the impression that Melanie was perhaps learning this from Taylor. And I got the impression that when she talks to Bernie at the film screening, which we only see through the CCTV, Sugar is watching. We don't hear what they're saying. My read on that was that she was confronting him about it. They'd been chummy, they'd been friendly, you know. Maybe she knew there was something about Davy to worry about, but she didn't know it was this bad. You know, what we see on the CCTV is I'm talking briefly. She like pushes his hand away when he tries to touch her or whatever, and that's it. So, I did kind of get the impression that Melanie was learning about precisely the kind of terrible things Davy has done in this episode.
And the only reason I ask that is because, okay, if we've got these five people who in some way or another have known or now know about Davy's behavior, is someone in this family sort of the primary suspect of what's happened to Olivia? Have they, again, we're sort of led to believe Stallings has done something with her. Did they ask Stallings to get rid of her because she knows too much? I can't say I'm going down that path yet, as we were discussing, but seems to be a lot of people now that are familiar with what's happening here.
Yeah, I don't have the read that Bernie definitely knows what Davy has done and has definitely been helping Davy to cover it up. But I don't get the feeling that Bernie is involved in kidnapping Olivia or something like that.
Well, he seems to every episode reinforce the fact that it's fine. She'll turn up. I think he says in this episode, I really don't care or really not concerned about it. It's a sort of a cover your tracks type of thing. I don't know. I'm not, like I said, not there yet. Just
Yeah,
curious.
maybe it just doesn't feel that way to me. It feels more to me like he sincerely has come to this view that, oh, well, you know, every so often she falls off the wagon, goes on a drug bender, and no use losing sleep over it. You know, that he's on that line as a parent of just kind of saying, I can't do this anymore. And I'm not trying to be, you know, overly sympathetic to that or anything else. That just seems genuine to me. Now, it could be wrong. It could be
I
wrong.
just I want to bring that up because it could be that provides a nice cover later of, I know she's done this before, I haven't cared before, I haven't looked for it before, And this is just another in a long series of things happened this time, however, because of other circumstances with Davey, Bernie has decided to do something about it. Again, don't know.
It's possible. I am realizing in retrospect, I think when you asked the question, you were also asking whether Jonathan knew. I'm not sure. I mean, I guess the door's open that Jonathan did not know until he read that tabloid story or what have you.
Yeah, I think there's two ways to look at it. Obviously, there's the he doesn't know, and the story gives him the heart attack. Then there's the he knows, but now that it's come out,
Yeah.
gives him the heart attack, right?
Is it that he knew? And he's upset that it's become public, or is it that he also didn't know and is learning? And we don't know that, right? Sugar tells us in this episode he's had the feeling that Jonathan's been withholding from him. Maybe he's been withholding about Davey. That's the suspicion. He wants to talk to Jonathan. He doesn't get to talk to Jonathan because, well, Jonathan has a heart attack and so on. But apparently does not die. I have to say, also, did you see that coming?
I did not know and I didn't like it.
I kind of saw it coming from a mile away. Like, as soon as Sugar shows up, and oh, it's a film screening, and he's like, "Hey, Jonathan, is there somewhere we can talk in private?" And he goes, "After the screening." I was like, "Oh man, he's gonna die." So maybe.
The part I didn't like was the narration that he'll be fine at the end. I
Yeah.
prefer to be thinking about it over the next week of what's going to happen to him and how does that impact what's going on.
It's interesting that you say that because part of me did appreciate that because I thought it was going to be one of these things where, as I say, from a mile away, I thought as soon as he said, "We'll talk after the screening," I thought, "Oh, this is the trope where they don't get to talk because Jonathan up and dies." So to be informed that he didn't die kind of subverted that trope a little bit, and I appreciated that, I guess, to know that, like, oh, okay, well, at least presumably at some point, maybe next week, right, he's gonna get to talk to Jonathan. But
What did you make of the of this being the setting of all this happening, right? So this is a classic movie screening, one of Jonathan Siegel's films, starring his former wife. This movie, The Winds of Change, not a real movie, by the way. It's in provides an interesting backdrop where there could be several layers here for what we're dealing with. And this is the moment where Sugar confronts Bernie, says, "I know about this. This is, we're gonna, this is not gonna stay behind closed doors, basically."
So I thought it was noteworthy that it's a fictional film. I mean, I guess since they were going to credit the film to the fictional character, maybe it sort of needed to be a fictional film. But I don't know that that's the only reason it is. You've got Jonathan's wife Lorraine in there. At the towards the end of the episode, Sugar notices that in one of the Polaroids of Rachel Kaye, she's wearing the dress that Lorraine was wearing in the film. And I thought that was kind of an interesting parallel with how we previously saw Olivia, for some reason, reenacting the scene of from one of Rachel's films. This was back in like episode one, I think. And that it was when Sugar was watching that scene that he freaked out and thought he was bleeding, and that whole thing happened there, I think, at the end of episode one.
And then he sees this. He makes this connection at the end of the dress being the same one that she was wearing, and sort of throws him into another, I don't know, mind loop or something that's just causing him to not understand what's going on here.
Well, but, I mean, yeah, it is weird. Why these connections? As we're hitting on a bit before, the family structure is pretty complicated. I don't know how relevant it's going to be, but you've got Rachel Kaye, who was Bernie's wife, who's died in a car accident tragically. That's Olivia's mother. Melanie, who was Olivia's stepmother, then Melanie and Bernie got divorced, and then Bernie married Margit, who's Davy's mother,
Yes.
who is now Bernie's ex-wife, and his current wife may have actually gotten a first name in this episode, and I didn't make a note of it. But anyway, the current Mrs. Siegel, as she's credited on IMDb.
She got the old, "Oh, I wasn't doing anything. I just slept at the beach house, go back to bed." And
Yeah,
okay.
she's not much of a character to this
No.
point. That was the gist of the scene, the classic kind of, "Oh, where have you been, honey? Come to bed." It's, "Oh, I'm too awake now. I'm going to do some work."
Exactly.
Who knows what time it is? It's like 5 in the morning. So we have all of that. I don't know if there are things to ultimately read into what happens in
Yeah.
the fictional film, The Winds of Change. I didn't really have anything coming to mind for me on that, but it could be interesting to revisit later. We don't know where we're going.
Yeah.
We know that there is some twist on the horizon because people can't keep their mouth shut, but we don't know what the twist is.
Yeah.
So.
Well, you heard last week what my sort of off the wall theories are about what that could be. I just wanted to reference the in Dr. Vickers' office, two things. They talk about The Thing, which is a movie about something that internalizes itself inside the human body and eventually comes out, and that Sugar spends quite a bit of time looking at this human skeleton chart that Vickers has up in his office. Like, oh, that sure is interesting. Wonder what that's like. Do I still think that he may not be human? Maybe. We'll see.
I don't know how common a skeleton chart like that is. It didn't look like your boilerplate kind of medical chart. There was something distinctive about that, which could explain why Sugar was looking at it. Like, what's this weird
It's
chart?
certainly, I'm very prepared to be wrong here. Just, I like finding things.
But yeah, maybe this is a clue. The stuff about the thing I think is quite interesting. And one thing I wanted to point out about it was it seems like Sugar can't remember the name of the film, which
Yes,
is
that's right.
odd because we know he is quite a film buff.
Yeah.
So he describes the thing. I
It's
don't
too
think it's
new
ever
for
made.
him. It's too new, right? It's not from the 40s.
1982.
Yeah.
He is clearly talking about the Kurt Russell version because he mentions Kurt Russell, right?
Yes,
The thing
yes.
has been remade once or twice since then. But yeah, I thought that was noteworthy that he's just decides to ask Dr. Vickers, "Hey, have you seen this movie with Kurt Russell where the scientists are in Antarctica?" And I'm immediately like, he's talking about the thing. And there's the scene where he's doing the chest compressions and it goes right through his chest, and then we do see some of it, right? It's one of the cases where they intercut some of it. But yeah, that's an interesting reference point because that film is very much about not knowing whether human beings are human beings. The thing, I guess, like the microorganism they unleashed from the Antarctic ice or whatever,
Yeah.
like takes over. And if people haven't seen it, those are mild spoilers, I suppose.
Yeah.
Watch The Thing. It's a classic, John Carpenter.
It's fantastic.
But yeah, I mean, definitely we were playing with the idea that maybe Sugar isn't human or something like that. And so the fact they're talking about the thing does feel like it could be a clue.
Well, I just, it's sort of, what's the point of Ruby making such a strong, heavy-handed suggestion that he go see Dr. Vickers, and then Dr. Vickers be an actual just medical doctor who gives him a physical, basically. And why do we need that scene?
Right. And Vickers was on the phone with Ruby in the previous episode, talking about Stallings and how Sugar can't find out about Stallings. And he says, it's time to let Miller know. We haven't seen Miller to this point, whoever that is. The doctor's visit is kind of weird because it seems like Vickers is saying, "Hey, I did a physical, everything's fine." But then Sugar has the shaky arm thing when he's trying to do his tie, and Vickers seems to think that's no big deal at all. But that seemed to be, that felt like it was why Ruby was telling him to go see Dr. Vickers.
So something doesn't add up here as to the cause and effect of why Ruby suggested who he is, what he's actually there for, what's the problem with sugar that they're trying to diagnose. Yeah, something doesn't connect, and I'm sure that it will at some point, just doesn't at this point.
Vickers also asks him if he sleeps. He asks him if he dreams. He asks him if he has intimations of despair.
Yeah, just like it's your normal physical.
Yeah, just totally normal doctor's visit. Any intimations of despair lately, Ryan?
I guess they do make you fill out when you have these doctor things. It's, do you feel depressed? Do you feel, but I just, yeah, this is not a black and white thing we're dealing with here, I don't think.
Yeah, and this seems more specific because we've had several things now pointing to sleep and dreams and nightmares and that sort of thing. So maybe that's to the point of why he's seeing Vickers, but Sugar basically brushes off those questions, is allowed to brush off those questions. So yeah, I don't know what's going
If
on.
this is, if the twist of this, that this is Kurt Russell wakes up 40 years later and this is a dream that he's had about, something since he experienced the thing back in Antarctica, then I'm going to be, I'm out after that.
Whole story is actually inside of the snow globe.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, maybe it's okay. So maybe he is sugar, this whatever kind of being who's not human. Maybe he's a werewolf. Maybe he's a werewolf, and
Maybe.
maybe he needs to see Vickers so that Vickers can secretly give him werewolf suppressants.
That's right.
And that was the point of the visit, right? Sugar doesn't know he's a werewolf,
That's right. No,
but
that's right.
he needs to get regular injections or whatever to keep from turning. And it's about to be the full moon, so Ruby became really insistent, like, oh, you better go see Dr.
That's
Vickers before the moon turns full. Like, I really hope it's not with the werewolf thing, but it's
Cameron
kind
is
of
addressing one of the wilder internet rumors that's out there right now.
I mean, it's kind of what I like about the werewolf theory being out there is I do feel like it could be something kind of like that, and it gives us a way to talk about it in the most outlandish way possible.
Exactly. Oh man, yeah. I mean, there's just, if nothing else, this show is doing a good job of keeping us guessing of where the case is going and what's going on with sugar. No definitive clues yet.
Yeah, any thoughts about the episode title, Starry-Eyed?
Only in reference to Sugar seems to be pretty starstruck when he's at the movie screening. He's kind of just. He even tells Bernie, I would never miss something like this. I don't really make any other connections beyond that.
Yeah, it's not what starry-eyed means, though.
Yeah.
Starry-eyed means like you're overly naive, optimistic, not looking at the world realistically,
That's true.
I don't know who's starry-eyed in
No, I don't
this
know who
story.
it is. Yeah. There's a lot of people the opposite of that right now, but I can't think of who that would be in reference to that be like that at all.
I mean, John Sugar himself, to some degree, insofar as he remains confident, he's going to solve the case, he's going to find Olivia, he's going to save Olivia. And so on and so forth. But yeah, it's a little bit of an odd title. Maybe they
I'm
were
sure.
intending to play a little bit on what you were saying, right? Like the Hollywood stars in your eyes, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
But
It could be. I guess he has made a point to tell someone every episode, I'm going to find her. No doubt about it. I will find her. So that's, maybe is that naivete? Is that glass half full? Is that starry eyed? Could be.
could be. Yeah, so let's see. Anything else we want to hit on before we wrap up here?
Yeah, I think we hit it.
I think we've hit it. Yeah. I'm sure there was stuff in there that we didn't talk about, but
Yeah.
people give us a hard time. They kind of a lot going on. Looking forward to seeing where it goes, what happens next week. The title of episode 5 appears to be Boy in the Corner, which I believe was the name of the film that Davey was in as a kid.
Yes, it is. It very where he has gained his fame and therefore started his activities, as it were, from that. Yep.
Yeah, and they're making a sequel,
Yeah.
Man in the Corner.
That's right.
No, good film titles. Anyhow, we'll see how that carries forward. What happens with Davey? What Stallings is doing, presumably. Episode 4 made a point of ending basically on that padlock door. Hopefully, we'll find out what's behind that door sooner rather than later. We've got the continuing mystery of what happened to Olivia and what exactly the connections are between all of these people, and then maybe the bigger overarching mystery of what's the deal with John's sugar, and then what is this twist that is coming down the line? I don't know when or what it will be, or if there'll be a werewolf bar mitzvah. We don't.
Oh, we can only hope.
This is a 30 Rock reference. All right. Thanks always for listening. Do join us again next week for Sugar Episode 5. In the meantime, I encourage you to check out tvobsessive.com. You can read my recaps of Sugar episode by episode there, along with find articles about all sorts of other TV stuff. You can follow the site on social media, search for TV Obsessive. If you enjoyed the podcast, please do consider leaving us a good rating, review, like, thumbs up, wherever you're listening. If you're on YouTube, consider subscribing to the YouTube channel, and so on. And we'll see you next week.
All right, see you then.